Now, it's a pleasure to wish you in the evening tonight again. The message I have for you tonight is from a well-known Bible story, really. You might have heard it more in the Sunday school when you were younger, if you ever went to Sunday school. It's from the story of what commonly known as Jonah and the Whale. At Sunday school today, and quite often at our children's meeting, there's a song that we sing, "Come Listen to My Tale of Jonah and the Whale," way down in the middle of the ocean. There's no children here tonight, but that's my favourite one that we sing with the children. Now, first of all, I've got quite a lengthy reading from the Word of God, from the Book of Jonah. Just to summarise the story, then we're going to think about some lessons in the Gospel about the way to salvation from this story of Jonah. If you don't have a Bible, don't worry about it. I'll read all the verses that we refer to, so you don't necessarily need to return to them. So if you have a Bible, as I said, you don't worry about it. The Book of Jonah in the Old Testament, and chapter 1, and we'll start reading verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for the wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast both the waves that were in the ship into the sea, to lighten it off them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and lay, and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him, and said unto him, "What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God. If so be that God will think upon us, and we perish not." And he said, every one to his fellow, "Come, and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, "Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thy occupation? And whence comest thou? What is thy country? And of what people art thou?" And he said unto them, "I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and dry land." Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, "Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them." Then said he unto him, "What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous." And he said unto him, "Take me up, and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you." Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Therefore they cried unto the Lord and said, "We beseech you, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thy Lord has done as it pleased thee." So we took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Chapter 2, verse 1. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. Now we come down to verse 7. "When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came unto me, into thy holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord." And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. And chapter 3, verse 1. And the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, "Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach against it the preaching that I bid thee." So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. And if we come to verse 4, and Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." So if people of Nineveh believe God and proclaim to fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. Chapter 4, verse 1. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said unto, and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying, when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before you unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God, and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. And we know what God has blessed the reading of his word tonight. Now that was quite a lengthy reading. I apologise, that's a lengthy reading. But just to summarise the story, I'm going to think about some lessons from this story. Now I was on the internet during the week there, and I put in the Google about Jonah and the whale, and it came up on some atheism website. It said, the Jonah and the whale fairy tale. So that's what people who don't believe in God, they think it's just a fairy tale. But I'm here to tell you tonight that we believe that every word that we've just read actually took place. It's a true story from the Bible. It's as true as that Jesus came to this earth, he lived on this earth, he died on the cross, he rose again from the dead. And it's a true story from the Bible. And there's many lessons we can learn from the book of Jonah. It's a wonderful book for the Christian as well, lots of lessons. But tonight we're going to think about some lessons of a way of salvation, a way from the Lord Jesus as we've been thinking about, the fact that he died for us on the cross. Now, the points I want to bring to you tonight are under seven headings, to make it easy for you to remember. It's seven R's. So the first one I want to think about is rebellion. Jonah's rebellion. Now, in Jonah chapter 1, it tells us there, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, he was given a message from the Lord, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, cry against it. But we read in verse 3 that Jonah rose and went to Tarshish. So God gave Jonah a commandment to go to Nineveh, but Jonah went opposite way. He didn't want to do what God wanted him to do, and we'll come to some reasons for that later on. But God gave him a commandment, and he did the opposite, basically. Now, the lesson I want to bring from this is Jonah's rebellion, is that we are really just like Jonah. We are rebellious. We are rebellious people. We are sinners. But a verse, you've got to come to this verse, I'll read this verse to you. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 8 says, the heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked, who can know it? The heart, that's the human heart, our hearts, our desires. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked, who can know it? Now, an example of this really, and it's a very prominent example, it's probably all still in our minds really, the recent riots down in London there, in England. Now, there was a certain event that there was a catalyst to it, but if we think a few days before that, the same people were relatively peaceful, there was no riots, people went about their daily business. But when they had an opportunity, and they thought they'd get away with it, and suddenly there was this great riot, and then you had people smashing shops and smashing police cars, and you had the people who were openly rebellious, who went and really stirred up the trouble. And we know that was wrong, don't we? But then there was people who came along afterwards, they'd seen the shops looted, they'd seen basically the door open in the shop, they'd seen a bottle of juice, and went in and took that bottle of juice. And that person who did that, they basically went to court, the same as the people who attacked the police. The person that took just that bottle of juice is basically in jail tonight. Well, they might be out by now, but they went to jail in the same way. And really you might say, well, is that fair? Really? Is that as wrong? Now that's really kind of a lesson for us when we think about sin. God's standards is totally perfection. God's standards is really way up here, total perfection. And you might think that the rioters who basically attacked the police, basically damaged property, all these things, you might think, well, that was really bad, that fell way, way short. But the person that was just walking by, seen a bottle of juice available to them, you say, well, that's not actually that bad. That's not as bad. Well, in God's eyes, and in this case, in the law of the land's eyes, it's not always the case, but in the law of the land's case, it's the same. Fell short the same. You might say, well, it's not quite as bad, but it still fell short. And the lesson from that really is that the hearts of the people, just like our hearts, basically that we're sinners, we're born that way, basically because Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, God created Adam and Eve, perfect creation, he gave them one command, a similar way to what God gave Jonah this command here, not to go somewhere, he gave him a command not to do something. He says, you can eat all the trees of the garden, but one tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you're not to eat. They disobeyed God, and as soon as they disobeyed God, basically God and Adam and Eve were separated because of that sin. And there wasn't that perfect communion anymore, there wasn't that perfect relationship between God and man. And what the Bible tells us in the book of Romans is that because of one man's sin, Adam, as the head of the human race, we are all Adam's descendants, so we are all born with this nature of sin. It was seen in the writers and wonder, it's seen in us. I mean, the Bible will tell us, even if we had been there and we had desire to do the same thing but didn't do it, that is still sin. The desire in God's eye, even if the desire to do something that's wrong, even if we don't do it, is sin. Now, before we move on from this opening point of under rebellion, we see here that Jonah was running. He was running from God. We'll see later on the reason he was running, things that the reason he was rebelling against God. There's a particular reason in his case, but it could be that tonight we are running from God. Jonah heard the voice of God. He didn't like what he heard, and he tried to run from God. And maybe tonight, you've been here week after week, you feel God speaking to you, and really you just try to get away from it, you try to run away from it like Jonah was here. So the challenge really at the end of this point on rebellion is, this first point is, how are we going to respond to God speaking to us? Right, the second point I want to bring to you, the second R is under the title of response. So the first one was rebellion. I want to think about response. Now for this, I want to draw upon Jonah. He's in the ship, there's this great storm, and we'll basically see here two different reactions to the great storm. We'll see that basically the shipmaster and all the sailors were terrified. And we'll see that Jonah basically was fast asleep. So that's two different responses, isn't it, to this great storm. Now, if we think of the men here, in verse 5, the mariners were afraid and cried, every man unto his God. Now, it was quite obviously false gods they were crying to, but really, in a sense, I think it's quite good that we were concerned about the condition, they were searching for something. But they had the wrong God, they had the wrong message, if you like, but they were searching for something. Now, just yesterday, I had a couple of Jehovah's Witnesses at my door, and really, I felt quite sorry for them. The fact that they didn't have what I had. But yet, they obviously had an interest in God. They didn't have the right answer. They didn't have the message of the gospel. They didn't have salvation. But they were, in a way, searching. So I give these men a bit of credit, the fact that they were searching for something. And they realised the situation they were in. They realised that, basically, this storm was a serious storm. They could die from it. But yet, well, there's a lot of quote here. It's actually my dad that gave me this quote. I don't think it came from originally. The quote is that you won't find any atheists on a sinking ship, and I suppose that you're saying on a plane that's about to crash, you won't find any atheists. So whenever there's problems, whenever there's danger, whenever something really bad happens, people turn to God then. They're not interested in God the rest of the time, but when something bad happens, they'll turn to God. Fair weather followers of God, if you like. We're not true followers, just when something bad happens. And maybe to an extent that was the men here, we don't know really, but we'll give them the credit that they were seeking after something. We realised that they couldn't do anything, we need a higher authority here. But then when we come to Jonah, we find that Jonah was fast asleep, unconcerned about his condition. And the question that basically the people in the boat asked him, he says, What meanest thou? What meanest thou, O sleeper? And really that's the question I can ask you tonight. I don't know everyone here, I don't know what your situation is. And it may be that you like Jonah, are just oblivious to your situation. You may become, I mean, it's good that you're here, maybe you're searching after the message of the gospel, but maybe you come week after week, and the message of the gospel can just go over your head. It doesn't really sink in, but it really, it's your soul that's in danger. And Jonah here, he was totally oblivious, really, to everything that was going on round about him. He had to be woken up by the captain and by the sailors. And they said to him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? So thank you that they wake Jonah up. And Jonah tells them basically that I fled from God's presence. This is the reason it's all happened. And Jonah basically provides the solution, doesn't he? He says, throw me into the water. And when you do that, we see here that the sea is a calm, total calm. There's another example of that in the New Testament where basically there's a big storm and the Lord Jesus comes and he stills the waves just by speaking, and it says basically that the storm is a calm. And the Lord Jesus can do it. He was storming our life. Because of sin, there's a great storm raging in our lives and our souls, really, if you like. But God can just give us perfect peace. But the closing point I want to bring from this, the second point here, is on response, is really the fact that the sailors here, because of what happens here, they end up worshipping God. They worship the true God of heaven. The true God created the sea and created the land. And that's really a lesson here for us, isn't it? For us that are Christians as well, really, that do we worship the Lord for what he's done for us? And I'll leave that with you before we move on here. Now the third point I want to bring to you tonight is under repentance. Repentance. Do you want to repent inside the belly of this great fish here? And really, from verse 17 we see, so Jonah is thrown into this great storm, isn't he? But in verse 17 it says, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Now, I want to think about this for a little while, and really, this great fish is a picture of the New Testament of the cross of the Lord Jesus. It's a provision made. This God basically prepared the way to save Jonah here. He was thrown into this great storm and God prepared this great fish. Now, the first way really that it's like basically the cross of the Lord Jesus is the fact that the men here, when this great storm, they're going to die, they realise that, and they throw Jonah overboard. So basically by the sacrifice of Jonah, if you like, by sacrificing Jonah, they are saved. And that's really like the Lord Jesus. We are all sinners, and ultimately we'll be punished for our sins, but God sacrificed his son so that we could be saved. So we have our sins forgiven. If we come to him, we accept him as our Saviour, as we think about. But also it's a picture of the cross of the Lord Jesus and the fact that it's provision made for our salvation. In the New Testament, the Lord Jesus, he was asked by the disciples, by the Pharisees and the men of the country and the people who followed the law. He was asked by them, give us a sign, really, to say that you are really who you say you are. You are really the Son of God. And in Matthew chapter 12, verse 40, Matthew chapter 12, verse 40, I'll read it out, you don't need to come to it. For as Jonah, was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. I'll read that again to you. But as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Now, you might say, well, how is the fact that Jonah was swallowed by a whale, was in the whale's belly 3 days and 3 nights, a picture of the cross of the Lord Jesus and what he done for us? Well, it's a picture, really. Jonah going into that fish's belly is a picture of him going into death, if you like. Jonah, because of his disobedience, was spiritually dead. Just like us, we are dead in trespasses and sins, the Bible says. But the Lord Jesus came and he died on the cross. The Bible says that he died once, so we can have our sins forgiven, so we can have life. Not that we won't die in this life, but it's talking about the afterlife, heaven or hell. The Bible talks about hell as a second death, if you like. So it's really to this verse from Mark. And the Lord Jesus, he died on the cross. And as it says here, he was in the grave 3 days and 3 nights. And he conquered death and the grave. He was perfect. He was holy, spotless. So because he was holy and spotless, he could pay a price for us. And he rose up again to show that God was satisfied with that perfect sacrifice for sin. Now, if we think of Jonah here, he's in the fish's belly here. Chapter 2, verse 2. I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me out of the belly of hell, cried I. So to Jonah, where he was in that fish's belly was like him, as if he was in hell. But that's what came to him. It says in the next verse, all thy billows and thy waves passed over me. And the verses in the prophets that speak about the Lord Jesus, about that's what happened to him when he went into death as well. And what it accomplished for us. But when you think of Jonah in the fish's belly, to him, it was like hell to him. Now really the point I want to bring is really a solemn challenge, really, that to Jonah, it seemed like hell, but the Bible talks about hell, and it's far worse, a far serious place, really. It's a place of punishment, and the difference, really, between Jonah here and the real hell that the Bible talks about, if you don't accept the Lord Jesus as our Saviour, there's no way out. For Jonah, he came out of his fish's belly, as we'll see later on. But if we end up in this terrible place called hell, there's no escape for us. But another point I want to think about, Jonah, if we think about Jonah in this fish's belly, it's really the worst point. If you think about the worst point, despair, think of him there, the worst possible point it could possibly be. And really, that's the point we have to come to. We have to really get to the worst point. Jonah, brought to this low point by God, realised that he was a sinner before God here. He realised he disobeyed God. He realised that he rebelled against God. And that's really where we need to come to. We need to come to the same position that we realise that we're helpless, as Jonah here, we're sinners, and we can come to God for salvation. And we see here in verse 4, he does actually repent. He says, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again towards thy holy temple. He's turning again to the Lord. And in verse 8 and 9, either way, he says, I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. So he recognised that, Lord, he recognised that God was the only one who could save him. Your salvation is of the Lord. Now, there's another verse in the New Testament that says something similar. It does. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. I'll read it to you. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So, God is a whole and hope of salvation, and for us, it's only through the Lord Jesus who died on the cross for our sins. The Lord Jesus says, I am the way, the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. There's one way to God, and it's through the Son of the Lord Jesus. He died on the cross for our sins, that if we come to him, like Jonah, we come at a low point, we accept we're sinners before God. Nothing we can do for ourselves, except that Lord Jesus paid that price for us on the cross. He paid the price of our sins, and we have our sins taken away, and we can know the joy of sins forgiven. Now, the next point is really a very short point I want to bring you here. And the fourth point I want to bring us is really under this point of remission. Think of remission. Now, Jonah had to repent here of his sins, and we read if you read in the Old Testament, the children of Israel had to bring lots of sacrifices to God for the sins that they committed. Year after year, for sin after sin, they had to keep doing it. But it was never truly sufficient. But there's a verse that says, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 21, without shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. So, yeah, we have to keep bringing these sacrifices, because it was only by shedding of blood, but it's never truly sufficient. But the blood of the Lord Jesus on the cross, it is sufficient to pay the price for our sins. And it's a fact that a price has to be paid, you see. A price has to be paid, and the wages of sin is death. A price has to be paid. The Lord Jesus paid that price fully. He does indeed get the cup of the wrath of God at the place called Calvary. And if we believe in him, on the basis that he paid that price, the sins taken away, the remission of sins. Now, this is a very short point. I want to move on to the fifth point now. We need to move on here for sake of time. So the fifth point is under restoration. Now, that's the fifth point I want to bring to you. Now, if you read chapter 2, verse 10, and the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. So we see, Jonah's repented of his sins, his sins are forgiven in our terms, and he's on the dry land, and chapter 3, verse 1 says, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. So the first time he disobeyed. So now he's repented, and the word comes to him again. Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. And this time he goes, he obeys the word of the Lord. So really, this is Jonah restored. Restoration. And because of our sins, as we've thought about, we're separated from God. But when we come, have our sins forgiven, we're brought back together with God. And we're restored to God. We have that fellowship with God. We have a relationship with God. Now, if we think about repentance, it's a change of direction, isn't it? And Jonah was this change of direction here. And we see a response from the people of Nineveh here. Jonah, he comes to them, and he preaches this message to them, and the people respond. Now, in chapter 3, verse 9, the people ask a question. They've heard the message, but they have to repent. And they ask a question here. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? So what they're basically asking here is they say, if we repent, will God not punish us? Will God actually not destroy the city? So what is the answer to that question then? You might say, well, And what about me? What have I come to God? Will he accept me? That's really the comparable question for us. Now, the answer to that question is that we, according to the words of Scripture, we know that God will accept us. And there's a verse, John chapter 6, verse 37, the Lord Jesus himself speaking. I'll read this verse to you. John chapter 6, verse 37. All that the Father hath given me shall come unto me, and him that cometh to me I will no wise cast out. So we come to the Lord Jesus truly in repentance, accepting him as our Saviour, then he will accept us. We've got a guarantee from Lord Jesus himself. Now, I want to move on here to the sixth point, and I'll need to hurry on a bit here. But the sixth point is retribution. Retribution. The judgment that was pronounced. Now, the judgment was pronounced on the people here. They did repent. But let's think about the judgment that was pronounced on them. Now, Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." So the wages of sin is death. The people had disobeyed God here. It was a rebellious city, so God had pronounced judgment on it. And we're thinking in verse 4, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So, the thing about these 40 days really is 40 days of God's grace here. 40 days of God's grace. They had 40 days to repent. And think about this current day that we're in. It's called the Day of Grace. We've come to the Lord Jesus. It lasted for 2,000 years. But there's no man and woman ever lived to be 2,000 years old. The oldest people get if they're blessed of the Lord is maybe just over 100. That's really the oldest that people get. So this, the people had 40 days to repent, days of grace. We've got now is God's day of grace. We don't know how long it'll last. Whether in terms of our life, because life is fragile, and the Bible talks about the Lord Jesus will come again from heaven, and if he comes again, then really our opportunity will be lost if we've not accepted him as our Saviour. God is long-suffering, but ultimately he will judge. There's a verse that says, "Behold, now is the accepted time, today is the day of salvation." Now, in chapter 4 we see that Jonah's really not happy. And we find out why he wasn't happy to begin with. Because he thought this people of Nineveh deserved to be punished. And he knew that God was a merciful, gracious God. He would, as the people repented, they would spare them. And we find out that's the reason that Jonah was angry here. But there's really no one that deserves salvation. But what we're saying, the Bible says, it's by grace that we saved through faith. Grace is what we don't deserve, favour from God. By grace are we saved, not by works, lest any man should boast. So it's by, there's no one, but we're all in the same position. Jonah was the same as these people, as disobedient as them, in the same situation. And Jonah questions God here. Maybe in a different way, you might find that you question God. As a Christian, we question God. Maybe if we're not Christians, we can maybe say, well, if God was here, why did that happen? Why did this happen? Surely if there's a God, he wouldn't allow that. Now, in the book of Romans, I've been going to the book of Romans recently, and it's really a great book, and it really explains the message of the gospel in more detail, the great doctrines of the gospel, if you like. But it gives the example of the potter and the clay. The potter and the clay. So the potter has control over the clay to make what he wants from it. To make it the shape he wants, to do anything he wants with it. And what it says in the book of Romans is, the thing created, as in the clay, cannot say to the potter, as in the creator, "Why have you made me this way?" Because it's the creator. The thing created is accountable to the thing it created, not vice versa. And we are accountable to God as the one that created us. So we can't question God. God is the sovereign one. We can't say to God, why this or why that? He is the one that's sovereign. Now, just the closing point, and I won't take up too much of your time, might be over time here. Then point seven I want to think about is reality. Reality. Now, there needs to be a reality to our repentance. If we come to God, we need to be genuine. If you come and as genuinely confessing that we're sinner before God, He will accept us. It says in Romans chapter 10 verse 9, part of the verse, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Now, that word Lord means supreme ruler. If we come to Lord Jesus, we'll make Him Lord of our lives. So we'll all be a change. There will be something different about us. We'll all be following the Lord Jesus if we come to Him and accept Him as our Saviour. Now, there's a song listened really from this place of Nineveh. In Jonah's day, responded and they repented and they were saved. But there's another prophet, just in the next couple of books over. The prophet Nahum was writing 150 years later. Nahum wrote 150 years after Jonah. And he pronounced judgment on Nineveh. And it seemed to be an even worse state then than what it was here. So people did repent here. But later on, it was a more rebellious city. And 100 years after that, it was judged according to what the historians would tell us. So that is really the kind of closing challenge I want to leave to you. If we're not saved, we need to actually come to the Lord Jesus and accept Him as our Saviour. We need to be genuine about it. And if we need to, and we think we are saved, we need to actually really examine ourselves and we need to be a reality about our salvation. We need to look back to a time, a particular moment where we came to the Lord Jesus and accepted Him as our Saviour. And we need really to examine our lives to say, are we living for Him as we should really? Now that's really the message I want to bring to you. Quite a bit over time, I think, because I've read so much of the passage to you. But I think I can summarise the story so we don't have to go into the whole thing. Now, I'll just close in prayer. We won't have a hymn because it's went a bit over time here. Alright. God, Father, we come before you this night and give you thanks for our Son, Lord Jesus. We thank you indeed for these wonderful lessons we can learn from this story in thy word of Jonah, who was rebellious. But when we think of our Son, Lord Jesus, the one who wasn't rebellious and went all that way to the place called Calvary and died for our sins. And we thank you indeed for the provision that was made for Jonah and that great fish. But think of a greater provision that was made at that place called Calvary. If we come as sinners and confess for sinners and accept Lord Jesus as our Saviour, we can have our sins indeed forgiven and have fellowship restored with Him. If there's anyone here tonight who's still in their sins, who hasn't taken that step, pray for indeed that they'll just come in that simple faith, even tonight, and accept Christ as a Saviour. So we pray for a blessing upon us as we part from each other. In the name of our Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.